Hello, I'm Harry Glorikian, and this is The Harry Glorikian Show, where we explore how technology is changing everything we know about healthcare. There are many causes for diabetes or chronic high blood sugar levels. But these days, there's also a growing list of ways to prevent diabetes or manage it once it starts. Wearable technologies like continuous glucose monitors or CGMs are high on that list. And that's why I like to come back and talk about progress against diabetes periodically here on the show. CGMs have tiny needles that penetrate the skin and measure glucose levels in the interstitial fluid between the cells. They can send that data to a smartphone where apps made by a variety of companies can record it and analyze it. One such company that I've been following for a while now is called January AI. January's co-founder and CEO, Nushin Hashemi, joined me here on the show back in July of 2021. It turns out that the same foods can have different effects on the blood glucose levels of different individuals. January's app starts off by studying those patterns. Then it can start making predictions about future blood glucose levels, even after the user stops wearing a CGM. And that can help users make smarter decisions about what to eat, how much to eat, or how much they need to exercise after eating. January's app can help people with diabetes manage their blood sugar, but the company's main goal is actually to help prevent diabetes in the tens of millions of people who have signs of being pre-diabetic. And since the last time I talked with Hashemi, she's helped to launch a second business that aims to help with that goal by promoting better gut health. And that company's name is Edens. And it makes a nutritional supplement that provides a blend of polyphenols, probiotics, and prebiotics to help improve the function of the bacteria that call your large intestine home. You've probably heard of probiotics, which are actual live organisms introduced to change the makeup of your gut microbiome. Prebiotics are non-digestible substances that are fermented by beneficial bacteria like bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, breaking them down into useful nutrients like short-chain fatty acids. Altogether, the Edens blend is designed to keep your gut microbiomes happy, which can have the useful side effect of helping to keep your blood glucose steady. I asked Hashemi to talk about why that's so important and about the work January has been doing this year to update its glucose monitoring app and how the app works in concert with the gut health supplements. Here's our full conversation. Nushin, welcome to the show, or I should say back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Harry.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you back. I was thinking about so much has changed because the last time we spoke officially was back in June of 2021. And I don't know, maybe it's COVID or everything, but it just feels like time has changed in its meaning when you talk to people again. And so I was thinking, you know, it's been so long. You know, for the folks that may have not heard that first interview or don't remember all the details, can you start by giving your standard, say, you know, 2-minute explanation on January and what's happening at the company and why you believe the ability to see and predict, you know, blood glucose levels is so important?
Sounds good. Our mission at January is to increase the world's health span. Our goal is to have 1 billion people prevent lifestyle diseases through smarter eating. We've taken two approaches to this. One is our AI and one is our supplement that I'll talk about later. Both of them have been subjects of years of research. What we wanted to do with AI was we weren't satisfied with just being able to tell what someone's glucose value is. The wonderful glucose monitors that are out there right now already can do that for you. They can already tell you that you can wear the glucose monitor, you can use the app that comes with the monitor, and pretty much understand where your glucose is right now. What we were interested in is to find out if we could actually predict someone's glucose. Could we create a biological model of their body so that we could predict their glucose? And last time I talked about how we did that and what a long and arduous process that is to build a biological model of a person's body, taking two main inputs, which is the heart rate, basically activity and food. But you know, we've done that in a maddening fashion, trying to turn food into an assay, which I can talk about again if you want to. But our prediction model is highly accurate. It is more accurate than anything else that is out there, except for two papers that don't do certain things that we do. And what we have, what we're calling now the world's first virtual CGM, where we're able to essentially train our machine learning models based on your body's data after 4 days of training with a heart rate monitor and a continuous glucose monitor and your food logs, we're able to predict your response to any food in our 32 million strong atlas. The way ours works, so the standard out there right now is if you're wearing a CGM, you can get a prediction from some products 30 minutes into the future, while the CGM is on your body, and not if you eat something. With our prediction models, we can predict hours into the future. We can predict when CGM is not on your body after the period of training. And we can predict for food. So we can actually say, not where your glucose is going to be if you don't eat anything, but where is your glucose going to be if you have this donut versus that apple versus this toast versus whatever, versus the Starbucks croissant or something else, or Cheez-Its, or pick any food that you'd like out of the 30 million strong atlas. And the beauty of AI is it allows education experientially, it allows mindful eating. How does education work? Well, you have counterfactuals. It says, Harry, you ate this food, but if you had eaten this other thing, this would have been your blood glucose. Harry, you ate this food, but if you had eaten this food and walked 10 minutes, this would have been your blood glucose. Okay. So the counterfactuals are really powerful tools to get people to think about, oh, that's really interesting. I could still eat this food. I just need to get up and move after eating this food. So we're all about giving solutions to people as opposed to don't do this, don't do that, you know, all the don'ts. We're all about how can we serve people, actually getting them to realize what does work for them and what they can do. So the other thing that the AI can do is help you decide, like if you're comparing two recipes to make for your family, or you're sitting in a restaurant at Cheesecake Factory and you want to know which cheesecake to have or which meal to have, you can just look up its values and you can see the curve. We draw the curve for you of how you're going to respond to this. The impact of this is massive. So for consumers, you're able essentially to, you know, get your model built once with one CGM and then be able to take that knowledge to any grocery store, any restaurant, any recipe, anywhere you want to see what the reaction is without having to spend more money. This tremendously increases access and equity.
So if somebody, I mean, do they need to do an update every once in a while? I'm just thinking out loud because I haven't been wearing a CGM for a while, right? And so you're like, well, should I stick one in my arm just to see how my body has
maybe
yes,
changed?
You should. We strongly believe in intermittent CGM use. So we think it would be really good to do it once a quarter, maybe. Because people lose weight, they gain weight, they travel, they get pregnant. Lots of things happen that changes yep. your status, you age. And it is important. So we definitely recommend intermittent. But think of it as, you know, 30 people that took a GWAS test. And they were able to see, oh, I may be more likely lactose intolerant. Oh, I may... more likely than others to be metabolizing caffeine slowly, or this metabolizing this drug slowly, or not metabolizing this drug very much at all. And what genetics did for us, wearables can do in the way of digital biomarkers, they can tell a lot about your health as well. So, you know, and then the ramifications of the virtual CGM are huge for, you know, other industries. You know, for example, you can, for big food and big pharma, they are able to do virtual product development in food. For example, you could use digital twins to look at whether, you know, what would happen if you removed this much of this sugar and added this much fiber, what would happen to someone's. So if you really wanted to target, if you're Nestle, if you're Pepsi, if you're Unilever right now, and you're doing food development, and you want to develop things for a pre-diabetes population or a diabetes population, or just generally healthy foods for healthier people, then you are able to use the digital twins. And pharma can use digital twins in the way of having a third arm in their clinical trials. For example, if they wanted a population of people with diabetes or pre-diabetes, and they wanted to have people where we've already characterized their lifestyles. And of course, this can also have a huge multiplier effect on coaching solutions. You know, you have Weight Watchers out there. You have Noom, you have Omada, you have all of these. You know, people couldn't get access to doctors. So in the last 10 or 15 years, coaching has become the way to get care.
Right.
And it's had good, and it has had good results where people can't see the doctor frequently enough, but maybe they can reach their coach more. But we could have a multiplier effect for coaches because we have a biological model of the person. We actually know what's happening in their body. Today, if you go to Weight Watchers or Noom, there are no wearables. I think Omada for diabetes does use CGMs, which is terrific. And we would love to add heart rate monitors to the mix. Everybody's wearing something these days. A lot of people are wearing smartwatches. Why don't we make use of that data for them?
Yeah, some of us are wearing
more than one.
But yeah. I mean, I can't compare to Mike Schneider, but so, I mean, let's face it. I mean, in reality, in the area of diabetes, I mean, the system is really failing. I mean, it's affecting 80 to 90 million people. And what I don't understand is, even if I'm being optimistic and says, you know, say somebody goes to the doctor three or four times a year to talk about metabolic health and nutrition, it doesn't seem to be enough to move the needle because they're not getting, you know, real-time information or getting information from their own bodies, let's say. And if I'm not mistaken, like, that's one of the needs you guys are responding to in helping fix that beyond just being healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you know, my co-founder, Mike Snyder, he was able to tell that it was coming down with a cold from his Fitbit. He was able to tell that it was coming down with COVID from his Fitbit. His COVID test disagreed. So he took a trip to New York and ended up just being holed up in a room for a week. I recently had gastroenteritis last week. And I had massive fever. Yes, I had 420. I could see my heart rate going through the roof. I could hear my heart beating really fast. And yeah, my temperature was going up. Wearables, just my Aura ring was just telling me that my temperature is elevated. This is without me even getting out of bed. In the middle of the night, I could see that, you know, my heart rate went to 90. My resting heart rate went to 90. You know, so yes, we are huge believers in the power of wearables to be informing us of our health, of our state of being. And we want people to become in tune with their bodies, to get to know their bodies, to be in tune into these little, you know, blips and essentially be monitoring themselves and be in touch with themselves and get to know themselves really well. So when something goes wrong, they're the first ones to notice. We think that is critically important.
And it's interesting, because I literally just saw this this publication right before we got on the phone. I guess on the 15th, there was a meta study that just got published saying that anybody that had long bouts of COVID has a significant higher probability of developing diabetes.
Oh, wow.
And that was a huge meta study that just got published. So something that may, you know, really fit into, you know, your system and how it can sort of alert people or keep people sort of more in line to maybe stave that off a little bit, which I thought was interesting and I wanted to mention when we were talking.
Yes, 100%. I mean, 40% of people who died of COVID had an underlying condition, many of them diabetes. So having chronic disease and not knowing about it is serious business. You can die, as we learned with COVID. And we think that these lifestyle chronic diseases are really manageable. They are preventable if people are armed with information, and also not just information alone. I think if you just talk at people, that doesn't work. People need to learn things experientially. They need to see for themselves. And I think wearables help close the human behavior loop.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I mean, I know how it changes my behavior. Not all the time. Every once in a while, I know that I'm breaking the rules and I'm going to suffer the consequences, but I do it with the knowledge that that's going to happen. You know, what do you think the biggest changes are at the company over the last, say, 12 to 16 months?
Yeah, so we'd had great success with our V1 of the product. People had lost substantial weight. They were, you know, using our product. They were eating fewer carbs. They were eating more fiber, more protein. They were leveling their blood sugar in a significant way. We put out a paper in diabetes therapy from our sugar challenge study. We have a white paper right now about the first 2,000 people who used our paying product. That paper is, we're just submitting that for a peer review journal. So we had really good results from that experience. But the product was clunky. We had used it to, essentially we had developed it just to collect data for our clinical trial. So we made a big decision. We made three big decisions at the end of last year in 2021. We decided to stop investing in our V1. And sunset that product, decided to stop paying, buying any kind of marketing, and stopped marketing for that product. And we also brought our mobile development in-house that had been in Ukraine prior to this. And yes, literally days before the war, the last two people rolled off. So what we decided was to invest in a consumer grade product, a V2 of our product, and to design it and to have it showcase our AI more and be a product that was more consumer grade. So we spent better part of 2022 designing that product, and we have an alpha that came out on August 31st, and we've been working on changes to it, and we are going to put out a beta shortly. And we're excited about sort of, we've stripped out a lot of the features that we had. It's a very basic product, but one that we think does it. It's better than anything that is out there. Absolutely. We had too many. We had a million things that you could do. We had five levers in V1. We still have those five levers, but you know, we had intermittent fasting. We had calorie restriction. We had fiber increase. We had movement, you know, after eating, and we also had what we call spiking foods, reducing, like getting you hyper-focused on what is spiking your blood sugar and then hacking those things. Mm-hmm. So we still have those. We've implemented them a little differently, but we stripped out social, we stripped out gamification, we stripped out everything to have a basic experience right now for people. And we will slowly add those other features over time. So that's been the biggest thing. Going from V1 to V2 is the biggest change that we made.
Yeah, I saw that there was a wait list for people to sign up for. So I guess, the wait list is for new people, or is it for the existing users?
It's for new and existing users.
Okay.
We have done zero marketing. So it's just word of mouth. We have no paid ads, paid social, anything like that. We're not talking very much about about this until it's out. But we just had to focus, and our focus has always been on science and technology and AI, and now we have the mobile development to go with it. So we are excited to put out V2 and get more feedback on it. We are looking forward to partnering with a number of companies that are interested in expanding this service, the January service, to their users.
Let's pause the conversation for a minute to talk about one small but important thing you can do to help keep the podcast going. And that's leave a rating and review for the show on Apple Podcasts. All you have to do is open Apple Podcast app on your smartphone, search for The Harry Glorikian Show, and scroll down to the ratings and review section. Tap the stars to rate the show, and then tap the link that says write a review to leave your comments. It'll only take 30 seconds. But you'll be doing a lot to help other listeners discover the show. And one more thing. If you like the interviews we do here on the show, I know you'll like my new book, The Future You: How Artificial Intelligence Can Help You Get Healthier, Stress Less, and Live Longer. It's a friendly and accessible tour of all the ways today's information technologies are helping us diagnose disease faster, treat them more precisely, and create personalized diet and exercise programs to prevent them in the first place. The book is now available in print and ebook formats. Just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and search for The Future You by Harry Glorikian. And now, back to the show. You touched upon it earlier, and I mean, I know because of my experience in these areas that behavioral psychology is a huge, you know, aspect of these sorts of products where, you know, and I know we didn't discuss it last time, but, you know, there's a big difference between, and even for me, having information about your health and then doing something about it, right? What kind of behaviors, you know, are you trying to encourage through the new app? What kind of design features are baked into the app to help customers, say, implement those shifts?
Yes. So the standard, the gold standard, if you will, are these frictionless nudges. That's the gold standard. Apple does them, Aura does them. When you first throw on an Aura ring, you're not really sure necessarily what heart rate variability is. You don't really know a bunch of the metrics that are tracked for you. And over time, you realize that, that's what that means. Like it, no one, like there are very small amount of, there's very small amount of content in there, like explainers explaining each one of the metrics, but no one's like talking at you. No one's like giving you streaks. No one's gamified. No one's done anything with you. They just literally every day report back on your behavior. And they say, you may have eaten too close to your bedtime or worked out too close to your bedtime. Maybe that's why your resting heart rate overnight was high. And after you see that a few times and you go, I was doing just that. I did eat too late, or I ate too much, or I was walking, like, you know, immediately before I slept, that's why my heart rate is up. You realize, so I used to drink two or three sips of wine sometimes if I ate red meat or cheese or something like that, but I realize what it does for my resting heart rate. So I don't do that anymore. So January is trying to do the same thing. We're trying to do these frictionless nudges where every day we would report to you and say, this is how much fiber you had yesterday. This is how to increase fiber in your body. Or here's, you know, great job. You moved yesterday after your meals. So how many times you've moved after, you know, post meal. And that's what we're trying to do. So the frictionless nudges are the gold standard. Now, could you tie this to a much bigger cognitive behavior therapy platform like a Noom or some of the ones that I know are getting developed right now by other people? Absolutely. That would be the dream. The dream is to tie essentially the best technology, the best prediction, the best biological model you could have for a person, informed by wearables and their user reported data, to a cognitive behavior therapy platform. That would be unbeatable. It would be really good. And we look forward to partnering on that, and while we expand our own internal capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, there was an interesting opinion piece like just the other day and a few days ago in the Wall Street Journal by a journalist named James Hirsch, who I guess who has, you know, type 1 diabetes. He's been wearing his continuous glucose monitor for about 7 years, and he said the CGM just sends him so much data that it's almost too much, right, to manage sometimes. And he feels like, I don't want to, it's like unforgiving judgment, I think he calls it, how it, you know, cajoles and like, you know, beats him over the head of it's too high or, you know, it's too low or whatever. And I guess there's got to be this fine line of how much you nudge someone or give them data to without overwhelming them to make sure that they can digest it and then be able to do something with it.
Yes, there's definitely the issue of, you know, the so what and the now what of data. That is definitely giving people just raw data is not always useful. I think what's really what people are looking for is, can you connect my data together? Can you integrate, synthesize in a way that I could not have done it myself? And that is exactly what an AI does for you. You can't keep 24 hours, data, you know, non-continuous monitoring of your heart rate and your glucose in your head. It's not possible to do that. So we keep that for you, and we're able to call out little blips, and we're able to surface data that is important for you to notice, and you don't have to notice the rest of it. And I think a lot of good wearables and technologies around wearables do that. They try to pick out, and if you want to know more, you can click and learn more. But if you don't want to know more and you just want to know kind of trend-wise which way you're headed, then these technologies do really well.
Yeah, I mean, for someone like me, I like something that sort of points me towards an actionable direction, right? But okay, now, since we last spoke, which seemed like a long time ago again, you and the other founders of January started a related company called Edens, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And I think that makes a nutritional supplement intended to support a healthy gut microbiome. So you and your co-founder, Mike Snyder from Stanford, is also your co-founder at Edens, along with Justin Sonnenberg, if I remember correctly.
Yes, so we actually started the company together. We started 5 years ago together, and it was always our intention to have be able to use the power of wearables and AI to dial people's lifestyle. But also we recognized that we couldn't just do that with behavior and AI, and that the biggest intervention in someone's health is fiber. The biggest intervention is prebiotics, food for your gut. Food that is not, doesn't have calories for you, it's not consumed for you, it's not for you, it's actually for your gut. And what's extraordinary, like our pioneering work on the AI side, we have done the most substantial study of fibers, fiber blends in our own wet lab. You see a lot of probiotic companies out there, and they're successful, and I take some of those products. I like those products. We've done that kind of work for prebiotics, which is different. You know, probiotics are more of the population that you can, yes. Mm-hmm. So in fact, our product is a symbiotic. So it's a prebiotic, probiotic, and polyphenols, but it's mostly made out of prebiotics. So it's a blend of multiple prebiotics, and there's nothing like it in the world. It is the first product created for total metabolic health. So there are a couple of other products out there, two that I can think of that promise to be nourishing your gut. They were not created for cardiometabolic health. We were also, you know, our product comes from our own wet lab and our own proprietary assays and our studies over the years about what is going to produce beneficial short chain fatty acids for you, what's going to be creating more GLP-1, and you're going to be more satiated, less interested in snacking. So we are super excited about this product, and we want to tell the world about it because it's been in the making And we have a family of products like this one. The next one will come out probably mid-year in 2023, but we're very excited about getting the word out about Edens right now.
So what's the story behind the founding of Eden? I mean, was this being done in parallel while you guys, you know?
Indeed, yes, it was done in parallel. It was basically two companies under one roof all the time. It was two, and so that creates a lot of, there are a lot of CEOs out there that run multiple companies. So I was running these two different things, one dry lab, one wet lab, you know, one with machine learning people, one with biologists and microbiologists. So yes, that was the story. We really felt that, as much as we would dial your food, you could not get everything you need from doing that. So, you know, according to USDA, 95% of Americans are not getting enough fiber right now. And what, our modern ancestral diets, that we're observing in some of the cultures that exist out there, we're eating 100 to 150 grams of fiber a day. And Americans are getting 5 to 10 grams, maybe 10 grams of fiber a day. And the difference is, insane. So if you, we've been evolved to eat certain things over millions and billions of years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there has been industrialization. And essentially, evolution moves way more slowly than industrialization. And so all of a sudden, we've gone to these highly processed foods that don't have enough fiber in them. And our system, no wonder why we have so much inflammation. If you take essentially these low fiber diet, the American standard diet, which is rich in sugar, salt, fat, red meats, and seed oils. If you take this diet, you look at that, and you look at overuse of antibiotics. I mean, we have made ourselves very, very sick. I feel we felt that the single lever of nutrition would be to increase prebiotics or fiber in your diet. But if you look at, for example, Metamucil, that's just psyllium husk. That's one fiber. Right. And it's, people generally think of it for constipation, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work on 30% of the people either. But it is, we are a blend, and we're not just a blend of probiotics and polyphenols, but we're a blend of fiber. So you're getting multiple fibers in one, which is really.
So if you're taking the Eden supplement, and I didn't really search up whether there's any published papers or anything, but do you see a noticeable change in, say, glucose levels since we're tying it back to the, monitoring system?
Yes, you do. You do see a difference in your glucose tolerance. We have a white rice challenge. You can take it at the beginning of the challenge and take it a month later at the end of the challenge, and you can see that your glucose tolerance has improved dramatically. Your bifidobacteria, I think we doubled your bifido. We change the composition of your microbiome. And by the way, I think it's really important for those people who are not taking a prebiotic supplement on a daily basis today. It takes more than a month for your body to adjust. You really should give it a couple of months. And if I could put in a plug for Edens right now, although maybe your show is not going to show, but I think I'll just talk about the subscription. I think it's really, really important for people to subscribe and just stay with it, because if you've never taken a fiber supplement before on a regular basis, on a daily basis, the first month can have, you can get gassy, you can have all sorts of kind of interesting things that start happening when you start getting sort of cleansed, but it subsides and then it's normal. And I've been on one form of fiber or another for the last 5 years myself. I will not go a day without it. In the last 2 years, I've been taking Edens every day, and as we've been, testing it ourselves, and it's phenomenal. So it's something that it's the simplest hack you can make. One spoon in water before when you wake up in the morning before you eat anything keeps you full. You don't, you can eat lunch later. It really helps your intermittent fasting because you don't have to eat. You can stay full longer. So it's a huge intervention in health. It's the quickest, easiest hack. It has no side effects. You're not taking, powerful drugs. It's a very simple way to reduce your chances of chronic disease, including diabetes.
But it sounds like, at least from when I was looking at the website, it's a combination of the, or at least it says that a combination of the app const and the supplement constitutes a unified metabolic health platform. So I'm assuming the AI component trying to help you manage what you're putting into your body besides the supplement together, has some sort of, more positive benefit than just one or the other by themselves.
Definitely. We think that the answer is in both. You need to dial your diet, dial your activity, dial your lifestyle to really optimize for your metabolic health. And a part of dialing your diet is to increase fiber in it. So they do work hand in hand, and we feel like you have the best chance of I mean, there is tremendous amount of literature behind the impact of fiber for glycemic response. Tremendous, and there's tremendous amount of literature in the world, and including in there's a lot in China. They've done a lot of interesting work there. We will put up the papers on our website. That is missing from ours. There's abundance of literature around generally fiber and diabetes, and then there's abundance of literature around our ingredients and the studies.
I'm sure that would be helpful to people as they're trying to educate themselves on the topic.
Absolutely. We have a massive spreadsheet about what has been put out in the world, what has been put out in the world about ingredients, what has been put out in the world by our own SAB, Scientific Advisory Board members. We include people like Jeffrey Blumberg of Tufts. He's the polyphenols man, as well as Eric Martens of the University of Michigan. He's very well known for fiber research. Et cetera. So, and Mike Snyder put out a study on fiber not too long ago in April of this year. I don't know if you saw that, but
No.
so it's our own SAB members, of course, Justin Sonnenberg and others, our own SAB members, as well as other well, massive amount of research that supports the importance of fiber in your diet for managing blood sugar.
Yeah, actually, you're reminding me. I'm probably overdue to reach out to Mike again and have him on the show because I'm sure there's a wearables angle that has completely changed over time too, since the last time I had him on.
For sure. Yeah, he did have a paper. There's an article about it. It's at Stanford, in the Stanford Medicine. It says fiber supplements aren't one size fits all, study shows. And so do talk to him about fiber and about, metabolic health center and a few other things that are really topical right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could talk to Mike for hours. So the last time we talked, and I tried this, was you guys had this introductory program called Seasons of Me, that came with the CGM, came with the app. You tried it out, but I mean, and maybe I just wasn't looking hard enough, but I think you've discontinued that program this last summer.
Yes, we have.
Is
That's the
something
V1.
coming up next?
Yeah, that's the V1 that we've discontinued. So our V2 is just called January AI app. And that uses one CGM only instead of two. And you basically take a few days to train your AI, 5 out of 7 days, first 7 days to train your AI. And then you're able to have virtual CGM, can look up whatever you want. You can look up should I eat these Cheez-Its or this other thing? And then the virtual CGM, as long as you, after their CGM runs out, as long as you log your food, you can still get predictions of your glucose all the time. It's pretty cool. It's kind of crazy.
And then, so, but we were talking, like, you were saying maybe an update every quarterly, or I don't know, at least twice a year. But how do you do you just
Currently, we don't
order?
have, currently we don't put you on a program. We should, as soon as this gets out, we need to get to situations where you can just choose, send me 4 CGMs a year, or something like that. And we can just say, great, every, we'll just send one to you every quarter and pause when you want to. And yes, we definitely want to do that. We think that CGMs are extremely powerful. We should update our models. So intermittent use of CGM is definitely what we recommend. There's no way we recommend use one CGM for your lifetime. That would be crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, and we're in the United States. I mean, if we're in the Europe, you could at least go to the drugstore and get a new one. But here, you just, there's no way to do that.
But imagine 133 million people today have diabetes and prediabetes. 96 million people have diabetes. And 90% of
Oh.
them don't know it. And 22% of people who have diabetes don't know it. Diabetes, they're undiagnosed.
Oh. Yeah. I
85
mean,
million people have diabetes or prediabetes today, and they have no idea. So why not take a CGM? It's $40, $50. Throw it on. Even if you don't want to use January, just throw on a CGM. Ask your doctor for a CGM. Try it. Try it. It's fascinating. It is really informative. And it's not meant to diagnose you or anything like that. It's just meant to inform you. That's it.
I can tell you that when I go out and give talks about my book and CGM comes up, I would say more than half of the audience ask me where, what, who. That is what they're super interested in because it's actionable, it's attached to their diet, and everybody's worried as they age, could they have a propensity to become diabetic over time?
100%. And you've seen what Mike's research from 5 years ago, that the glucotide paper that talks about how people whose A1Cs do not show prediabetes or diabetes, but have huge blood sugar spikes. Now, there's no long-term studies, longitudinal studies showing that people that spike all the time will necessarily have diabetes. But the stress you're putting on your body when you spike that much
Oh,
is,
yeah.
it's, it's, yeah. So he's shown people that, there's the population that has diabetes, there's the population that has prediabetes, and there's population that doesn't look like they have either, but they are spiking, like crazy. So I think there's beginnings of chronic disease where not only we're not screening for it right now, we're not even screening. Today, screening in America is if you're an adult over 40, who's very obese, you might get screened for diabetes. That's insane. That's insane. With the number that we have, that's just irresponsible of our standard of care. It's just irresponsible.
Well, and the funny thing is, like back in the day, you could say, well, testing for it is not easy, but now it's like you put the thing in your arm and you don't even, I forgot it's there. I mean, I would be, taking a shirt off or putting it on and I'd be like, oh yeah. I forgot it was in my arm.
Same, same, same. Yes. We have the technology today to help people live a healthier life. We have the supplement today to get people to nourish their guts and come back into balance, reduce inflammation, improve their cardiometabolic health. And I think they're fairly easy hacks. They're fairly easy hacks. This is not like don't eat sugar again. It's nothing like that. It's not like don't eat refined flour, don't do this, don't do that. It's not like drop 25 pounds. It's not any of those things. It's a small hack. It's a small hack. One scoop a day. That's it.
Oh yeah. No, well, it's funny because you're saying give up sugar. So one of my friends went to Lebanon and said, "Hey, come with me." So I went with him and I just got back Sunday and I brought back little, baklavas from there. They're amazing. So You know, I don't know if I would ever want to give those up. I don't have to have them all the time, but every once in a while.
You don't have to. You know what? Much like you take a lactate pill before you have a bunch of cheese, have some fiber in your stomach right before you have a baklava, 20 minutes before, and it will modulate your it will stunt your curve.
Well, it's been great having you back on the show. I mean, it's been almost too long, but I'm glad to hear and see all the, you know, changes that have happened and all the, you know, I'll call them improvements because that's what a startup does is continuously improve. And, you know, I'd love to hear more as time goes on and the results of studies, because I'm sure you're doing them. So I only wish you incredible success.
Thank you, Harry. I really appreciate it. Thank you for spreading the word about the solutions that exist already today, of all the things we already can do, and the promise of all the things to come in terms of AI and medicine. We really appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's it for this week's episode. You can find a full transcript of this episode as well as the full archive of episodes of The Harry Glorikian Show and Moneyball Medicine at our website. Just go to glorikian.com and click on the tab Podcasts. I'd like to thank our listeners for boosting The Harry Glorikian Show into the top 2.5% of global podcasts. To make sure you'll never miss an episode, just open Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and hit follow or subscribe. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We always love to hear from listeners on Twitter, where you can find me at @HGlorikian. Thanks for listening, stay healthy, and be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now for our next interview.